Matthew 25. This lesson will give you a lot to think about. The main reason is I don't try to teach new things. I love teaching the Bible. Your Sunday school lesson, the outline that you have in front of you, is going to teach the lesson in a way that it's always been taught to me. It puts this parable in the kingdom of God, and it makes things happen right here. Look at Matthew 25, look at verse 1. We're going to put this parable where it goes, and then I'm going to teach it from that angle. Look at verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Stop. Two things that you should notice that should be marked in your Bible. The first thing is this is a kingdom of heaven parable. This is the only place that this parable is found in the Gospels. This Jesus did not choose to duplicate this parable in Luke or Mark or John. This is only found in Matthew. So that means this is a kingdom of heaven parable only. So that means that this parable does not belong where we're at. From Calvary to the rapture is the kingdom of God. We are close to Jesus coming, but this parable does not belong here. This parable belongs in the kingdom of heaven, the thousand-year reign of Christ. With that in mind, there's another thing that you should notice about verse number 1. Are you ready? It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven. See the word then? That means it is connected. You normally don't say then unless you're talking about what you were just talking about. You understand? This parable is really this is all a dialogue that starts with Matthew 24. Turn there real quick. Matthew, just go back one chapter and look at verse 1. Anytime you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's prophecy. None of this stuff has happened yet. Some of it is leading up to it. We're watching some things gel as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus. Jesus gives the greatest prophecy conference, if that's what you want to call it, in Matthew 24 and 25. Look at how it starts. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Isn't that funny? As if he had not seen him or didn't know about him. Okay? They've watched him calm the storms, control the weather, raise the dead, heal the sick, and they're like, hey, Jesus, we want to show you some of these buildings. Now, they're showing them about Herod's temple. Herod's temple was grander than Solomon's temple. You had the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then you had Solomon's temple. It was double the size. Then you had Herod's temple. Herod's temple is even bigger. And so this is the center of Jewish life. This is the temple. This is the place of sacrifice. And we showed you a picture of it before. It had the court of the women. It had the inner court with the holies and the holy of holies and the outer court and all that. This is the center of Jewish life. This is every Jew's pride and joy. This is all they've been taught, the center of their life. So they go to Jesus and they say, let us show you these buildings. Have you seen them? Yeah, he'd seen them. He cast the money changers out. He'd watch the widow giving her tithe. This is where the publican and the Pharisee prayed, and we kind of went over that parable. Yeah, he'd seen the temple, but he says, hey, we want to show you these buildings, because this was their pride and joy. This was the center of their life, and look what Jesus says in verse 2. Ready? I'm at Matthew 24. Look at verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This is their pride and joy. This is the center of their life. And they're like, Jesus, come here and look at this. And he says, do you see everything here? It's all coming down. They could not fathom that. That was one of the hard. They're like, he said, not one stone is going to be left. And from this point on, Jesus tells them about what to look for, because if you will notice the next three questions, notice the questions the disciples ask. Verse number 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? When's the temple coming down? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world? Those three questions is what Matthew 24 and 25 are going to answer. This is a Jewish king, the Lord Jesus, talking to Jewish disciples about Judaism and Israel. This has, in Matthew 24, it has absolutely nothing to do with the church, us. Okay? If you put the rapture in this chapter, you end up with some serious doctrinal problems. Notice the three questions. You say, why are you doing this? Because Matthew 24 starts with Jesus teaching the 12 men, and it stays that way. That's who the audience is. Jesus is talking to saved people here. Do you understand? He's talking to people. He's not talking to the multitudes. He's teaching his disciples. So if you'll keep the context, keep where Jesus is at, watch, let's kind of go through this, and then we'll lead up to the parables. Are you ready? I wanted to take just a little bit of time and do this with you, and watch this. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. When was the temple destroyed? 70 AD. Through this time, have there been people who have come through the centuries claiming to be Christ? Has there been wars and rumors of wars? Yes, there has, but not until 70 AD, because nobody could conquer Rome up to that time, and nobody had yet. Jesus is talking prophetically, and yes, there have been people who have come saying they are Christ. But it's all leading up to, I'll show you here, watch this. Look at verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Have you noticed the disease outbreaks? Have you noticed the earthquakes in weird, diverse places? Places where there hasn't been earthquakes before. Earthquake in Indiana happened a couple years ago. Earthquakes, and so as we get closer to Jesus coming, disease will be on the increase. National disasters will be on the increase. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be of who? Who are they delivering up? I don't mind if you apply this to Christians, but he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to Israel. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Is Israel a hated nation? Yes. Yes. Very much so. Anti-Semitism, or Jewish hatred, has been around a long time, but it is on the upswing, isn't it? For instance, last century, 20th century, Hitler. Jews are the lowest form. Who was Hitler going to kill? According to the Aryan race thing, who is he going to kill after he was done exterminating the Jews? Who was next on his list? Has anybody seen the list? Negroids. He had his list. He was working his way up. But it starts with 6 million Jews being killed in the Holocaust. And so anti-Semitism, you shall be killed and hated of all nations. It's ramping up to this time here. It says, verse number 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then, watch this, then shall the end come. When is the end? You will see this all through this passage. The end is not the end of the earth. When the earth explodes and the great white throne judgment takes place, that is not the end that he's talking about. The end that he's talking about is at the end of the tribulation. What is the end of the tribulation for the Jew? This time here and the time we're in and the time that goes back 600 years before Calvary is called the times of the Gentiles, when Israel shall be trodden underfoot. And it has been. This is the times of the Gentiles. So when will the end? He's talking about the end that's going to be at the second coming when Jesus comes again. He's not talking about the rapture. Watch this. Keep on going. It says here, verse number 15. He's talking about the tribulation. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. That's Daniel chapter 9. When we're gone at the rapture, Islam is going to rule a lot of the world. Then an Islamic leader claiming to be a Jew, he'll be olive-skinned, claiming to be a Jew, is going to make a pact with Israel saying, I'll protect you from the Muslims. And he'll make a treaty. And then halfway through that treaty, he's going to break that treaty. And then they're going to start bringing Jews into the temple. And they're going to start, cannibalism is going to start. Remember all in Psalms it says twice, who eat up my people? What's that mean? It means they're going to be eating God's people. That's Israel. And horrible atrocities start taking place right here in the tribulation and the great tribulation. He says, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate, that is when this Muslim claiming to be the Messiah, the Antichrist, is going to stand in the temple and proclaim himself to be God, that he is God, and demands worship and sacrifice be made to him, and then the slaughter of the Jews, and they start chasing. That's when the great tribulation. He says, when you see this time right here, he's talking to Jews. We're up in heaven. He's talking to Jews. I'm going to keep telling you that. So ready? Watch this. Keep on going. It says here, verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is the time when the Jews are going to be chased like animals all over the earth. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that give that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Because the Jews have a thing where you can't walk more than a tenth of a mile on the Sabbath day. Ritual and things. He said, no, this is time to flee. This is when the Antichrist, a Muslim claiming to be a Jew, is going to take the throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to proclaim himself as God, and then he's going to go after the Jews. And Jesus said, this is going to be a time where Israel is running for their life. Where are we at? We're up in heaven, right? The saved are up in heaven. Keep on going. Ready? Look here, verse number 21. For then shall be, watch this, great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jesus is describing the tribulation period. He's not describing anything that... things. Yes, as we watch, as the world gets ready for Jesus to come, things are getting worse. Disease is getting worse. Natural disasters are getting worse. Are there people, false religions? Are they multiplying? Yes. But the time he is describing is this time. And now he says, now after this, you're in the great tribulation. The 7 years is tribulation, but the last 3.5 is great tribulation. It's the worst time that the earth will ever know. We did a thing when we looked at the book of Revelation. I don't know if you remember how I broke the tribulation period down. And from half on, nobody's allowed to die. It gets so bad, it says death flees from people. That's because this is a time that, what is the tribulation? It's Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30. It's judgment on Israel for doing what? Rejecting the Messiah. Where are we, the Gentile church? We're up in heaven. I don't know that we'll be watching it. I think we'll be at Jesus' feet. I think we'll be enjoying biscuits and gravy at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, I think we'll be up in heaven looking down. But I just want you to know, he's describing the tribulation period. Keep on going, ready? And he describes it as, verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Elect. You're going to read that word about two more times, elect. Well, that's talking about the saved. Most of the time, every once in a while, the elect refers to us, the saved, the redeemed. But most of the time, the elect refers to Israel, God's chosen people. That's Israel. Then God says, these days are going to be so bad. God says, if they were longer than 3.5, only 2/3 of the earth gets killed. Only 1/3 of the earth's population lives at the end of the tribulation. There is so much bloodshed and so many people dying literally by the millions through this time. He said, except these days, he said it could not be longer than 3.5 years, but it'll be the worst time. Praise God, if you're saved, we'll be up in heaven. Keep on going. Ready? Verse number 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Do you know what the Antichrist is going to be doing? He's going to be making a statue of the beast. The beast is the Antichrist, but the image of the beast, he's going through the devil, be able to make an inanimate object talk. The whole world is going to see it on internet. Then it says he's going to be able to do such miracles that he's trying to deceive the elect, which is who? Israel. Look, keep your finger right there in Matthew 24. Go to Revelation 13 with me, will you? Go to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13 is about the only time we'll take a glance out of here. Revelation 13. Look at verse number 12. Revelation 13, verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, watch this, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's a pretty big miracle. That means to be able to call fire down out of heaven. He's doing great wonders. This is a time of huge, you could say, That's why when somebody says, did you know crystals heal? There's a whole lot of demonic activity and things that are happening as we get ready to go into the tribulation. Praise God, we're not going. But I'm just saying, the world is gearing up. You understand? The world is prepping for it. Zombie stuff. Goofy junk. At any rate, go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, look at verse number, watch this. Verse number 25. Behold, I'm at Matthew 24, 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Did you know in Matthew 24 and 25, the word coming is mentioned 7 times. Matthew, this is one talk Jesus is giving to the disciples. So in one prophetic discourse, I don't know how you could apply this whole passage, Matthew 24 and 25, to anything but the second coming. 7 times the word coming is used. Here Jesus says, this is the coming of the Son of Man. Keep on going. Ready? Jesus, in other words, says, I'm going to come like lightning. Lightning, we see it. I know it goes from the ground up, but the blade you see appears like it starts in the sky and strikes downward. Okay? He said, I'm coming from the sky. He said, I'm not in any chamber or any place like this. He said, I'm coming just like lightning strikes. At any rate, there's a lot more to that, but we're looking at verse 20, 28. For whereas the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. It's a sign that he's given. Immediately, watch this, look at these words, after the tribulation of those days. Okay, after the tribulation, that is at the second coming. After the tribulation, right here, points to it again. Whether you want to call it the end or whether you want to call it here, once again, I know as far as it's Jesus teaching prophecy to his disciples. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall what? Shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. How come the sun gets darkened? Because Jesus is brighter than the sun. How come they can't see the moon? Because Jesus is, God is light. So in his coming, everything is darkened. Everything is darkened. Then, watch this, it says here, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There it is again, the coming of the Son of Man. Then it says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Who's the elect again? It's Israel. Israel. You say, no, this is a picture of the rapture. This is not the rapture. There appears, and I don't say this dogmatically, people are taking Matthew 24 and they're putting the rapture right there and they're saying, see, the rapture happens mid-tribulation. You need to say, no, come here. You see these two fingers? Boink. Okay. No, you need to read it again. Okay. You're having a brain hiccup. All right. Mid-tribulation. I'm telling you, people, where's this mid-trib garbage coming from? People aren't rightly dividing the word of truth and they're putting the rapture in weird place. Well, it says God's going to send his angels and gather the elect. Who is the elect? The elect is Israel. Good morning. Good to have you all this morning. Who is the elect? So God is, it appears. I know as well as I'm standing here, there's too much Bible behind it. Do you understand? The rapture happens right here. We're getting ready for the rapture and all of the saved, the redeemed, are going to heaven. But it appears that at the end of the tribulation, God is going to have a time where he gathers Israel with a trumpet. You say, well, what's it going to look like? I don't know. I just know as well as I'm standing here, that is what you're reading right there in Matthew 24. This is talking to Israel, the Jews. This is not talking. We're the ones that are looking for the rapture. Israel is looking for the second coming. We're looking for the rapture. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm listening for a sound. The trumpet. Okay, let's back up a little bit. In the Old Testament, there's two brides in your Bible. Who's the first bride? Israel. Who's the first bridegroom? God. Then go to the New Testament. Who's the bride in the New Testament? The church. The local New Testament church. Right? Who's the bridegroom in the New Testament? The Lord Jesus. There's two brides and two bridegrooms. We know they're both one and the same. But we as Gentiles, we're looking for the rapture and the Jews are looking for the second coming. This is when they see him and mourn. Oh my goodness, we crucified the Messiah. And they're going to weep. And they're going to see it. And they're going to, oh, did we blow it? Yeah, you did. So, when you're reading Matt, so once again, Did I say a rapture happens here at the end? No. I just know as well as I'm standing here, that rapture that we just read about where the angels gather the elect, it ain't us. We're gone. We're not here for any of this in the tribulation. So this is at the end. There's a few more verses that lend to what we just read in verse 31. Look at verse number 32. Ready? Says here, now learn a parable of the fig tree. Stop. Okay, there's so many signs. All through the Old Testament. What is the fig tree a picture of? Self-righteous, self-religious Israel. That's one more. Jesus is not talking to us, the local New Testament church. He's having a private conference with his disciples. And he's teaching them. Because they ask the question, when's the destruction of the temple? When shall these things be? What's the sign of your coming? And what's the signs of the end of the world? Those were the questions that were asked. And those are the questions that Jesus is answering. Okay? So, here we go. Watch this. The fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that the summer is nigh. It's a sign of Israel. Israel just became a nation when? 1948. It's funny, when you read books before 1948, Israel wasn't in the picture. They weren't a nation. They had not been a nation for almost 2,000 years. And it's funny reading Bible prophecy books of men. I mean, I read J. Frank Norris's book on Revelation, and when he gets to Israel, everybody just chokes. Israel didn't exist. So we're watching things take place because Israel is now a nation. Okay, the fig tree, all right? Keep on going. Look at verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. He's talking to Jews, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, glory to God, shall not pass away. Amen. But of that day, boy howdy, if as your pastor, I could get you, whenever you see those days, that's in reference to the tribulation. When you see that day, all through your Bible, most of the time, it's talking about that day is when Jesus comes. Not the rapture. It's talking about, do you realize over two-thirds of your Bible talks about when Jesus comes. That's when the mountains sing and the trees rejoice and the creation praises God. The curse is lifted and for 1,000 years Jesus rules and reigns. Two-thirds of your Bible. This is the greatest event in your Bible. The greatest event in your Bible. Then keep on going here. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming, there it is again, the coming of the Son of Man be. Here we go. Now verse 40 and 41 I think tie in with verse 31. Then shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Before Jesus comes, there appears to be a time when people are going to be taken. Who is it? It's Jews. That is not rapture verses. If those are rapture verses, then you have a hard time if you put the rapture right there in verse 40 and 41, you have a hard time. You got to really twist some scripture to get the rapture to be at the start of the tribulation. Do you understand? So don't do that. I know as well as I'm standing here, those are not rapture verses. You say, well, explain it all. I don't know. There's some speculation in prophecy. Do you understand? It hasn't happened yet. But so I'm going to go ahead and say, I am much more for saying there appears to be a time when God will gather the Jews at the end of the tribulation, who go all the way through about probably, I don't know, some say if you do the days of Daniel and you go through the days, it appears to be right around 40 days before the second coming. I don't know. I just know as well as I'm standing here, though, okay, it's not the rapture for us. It very well could be a rapture for the Jews, the elect. Okay? Keep on going. Look at verse 42. Watch therefore. Now, when you start verse 42, you enter the tri-parable that Jesus gives. Because remember when we read in Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which... Okay? Then, so this is linked. So Jesus starts 3 parables. The first one, that's how come I put up here, the 10 virgins, I don't know. See, context should mean something to you. So when you read the word then, that tells me I can't just read this. I need to look ahead. What was Jesus talking about? Who's he talking to? Who's he telling the parable to? What's the whole purpose of the parable? And when you go back in your chapter, you're going to start probably at around verse 42. Who has a paragraph marking in your Bible at verse 42? Who has one of those backwards P's? Good. Good. So it might be a good place to start. Now, the only reason that sent me back to Matthew 24, 1 is because I wanted to know who Jesus was talking to. So I went back to, it just led me back. This is a private discussion Jesus is having with his disciples. Then he's going to give the first parable. And the first parable is, it's called the householder parable. Okay? Our parable that we're looking at this morning, this is a big intro for one parable, isn't it? Okay. Then we're going to look at the 10 virgins or the bridegroom parable. And then if you look at, we'll come right back here to verse 42, but look at chapter 25, verse 14. Ready? I'm at 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling at a... That's the parable of the talents. The word for tells you it's linked to the parable ahead of it. So Jesus is giving three parables. All of them are trying to teach. What's a parable have? One main central truth. One main truth. And it starts with Matthew 24, verse 42. Go back now, look at 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Then he gives the parable. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Here it is again. Here's the theme of the parable. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Then when you, okay, everybody, turn on over to chapter 25. Look at verse number 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You're getting the main truth that Jesus is trying to tell us. Number one, he's talking to Jews. He's talking to Israel. I have no problem. And I never read my Bible like this and say, oh, that's for Jews. That's not for me. Although it would help you keep things straight if you did that. But I can pull spiritual truths out of here. Don't read that. That's for Israel. Okay, I think that's going a little too far. Okay, I think you're probably, you need, come here. Boing. Okay, never mind. All right, that was... Here, the main theme is watch and be ready. That's what I'm supposed to be gathering from this parable. We don't know when the rapture is going to... I can apply that. I can apply it to the rapture because what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the rapture took place this morning? We'd all go to heaven, no more problems, no more aches, no more pains, and we'll let the liberals run the buses. Amen? We'll let them run it during the tribulation. You know what I mean? I told you all to get saved. But we'll be up in heaven. And we're supposed to be longing for heaven and looking for the rapture and thinking about, I mean, every day it's supposed to be, maybe today might be the day. Did you know there's a crown in heaven for those of us who are waiting and looking forward to the rapture? You get a crown just by looking forward to it every day. Going out to your window and looking out and just thinking, Lord, today might be the day. That's 2 Timothy 4. All I'm trying to tell you is here, Jesus, the main theme of these parables, when you put them together, in the householder, it is the Lord is absent. In the parable of the 10 virgins with the bridegroom, the Lord's absent. He could come at any time. In the next parable, and we'll look at that in February after we get through with our missions, which starts next week, you have, in the parable of the talents, you have an absent Lord. The Lord's absent. And the whole theme is this. To a Jew, yes, what do we gather from it? As Gentiles, we're supposed to be living and getting ready for the rapture. We're supposed to be living for the judgment seat of Christ. One day, God's keeping the books, God's keeping the tally, and God doesn't miss anything you do for Him. Nothing. And I feel sorry, 1 John chapter 2, there's going to be some Christians at the second coming who are ashamed. They didn't do anything for the Lord. Or there's some who started and then quit. And then you lose your rewards when you quit. That's why we're supposed to be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about our rewards that we're working for. We're all supposed to be, one day, I got 70 years on this earth. And if God gives me longer than 70 years, glory to God. But I got 70 years to live for God and try to do something that's going to matter for eternity. All of us are supposed to, you think that way because you're a pastor. All of us are supposed to be, if you read these parables and look at what Jesus is teaching and pull a personal truth, it's watch and be ready. Now, with this in mind, the Lord is absent, the Lord is absent, the Lord is absent. And the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. So we're all supposed to be living our lives preparing for the coming of the Lord. There's so much to this, but now let's look at, we got 1 minute, okay? I'll go to chapter 25. Now let's look at the parable. Ready? That was some introduction, right? But you know what? If you introduce it right, if you look at the context and who he's talking to, you could get what I got out of it when I studied. But the way I've been taught this parable my whole life is the parable of the 10 virgins goes to the rapture. And the five wise are the saved ones, and the five foolish are the lost. Let me show you something. Ready? Look, it says here, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The lamp, I know if you can't see this, I understand, but the lamp was only that big. If the party was going to happen in the night, you can't light one of those lamps, little bitty, I mean, it's got like a 2.5-inch reservoir. It won't stay lit all night. You can light it, but you're going to have to add oil to it. I think all of them had their lamps lit. But I think the wise virgins had vessels with extra oil with their lamps. Because watch this. Watch what happens. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. All the virgins trimmed. Why do you trim a lamp when you light a kerosene lamp? Why do you trim it? You're trimming off the what? The burnt, right? All of them trimmed their lamps. That means it was burning when they went to sleep. They get up, they hear, oh, the bridegroom cometh. Trim the lamp. You know, I know they didn't have Bic lighters, but you know, okay, however they lit the stupid thing, all right? But they had to put oil in the vessel. And five had a reservoir of oil to put in there, and five didn't. Because, watch this, looky here, it says, and the foolish, verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have what? Gone out. We've been taught, it's just when you read it and you look at each word and you think about it, that means the lamps were lit. And we've been taught, well, the five wise are saved people and the five foolish are lost people, and make sure you're saved when Jesus comes. Okay, make sure you're saved when Jesus comes. But I think that's talking about this. What's oil a picture of in the Bible? Holy Spirit of God. 9 times out of 10. Sometimes, 99 times out of 100. A lot. You can't serve God without the Holy Spirit. And they all had oil in their lamp, but those who thought ahead and said, I need to make sure I have oil for the party, when we're invited into the wedding party, those were the wise. So what determines wisdom from foolishness in this parable? I made a few statements and then we're all done. I've gone over. Your faith has to be your own, okay? I know everybody would amen that to death. And your service for God has to be your own. You can serve with other Christians, but you serve God for yourself. You go soul winning for yourself. You read your Bible for yourself. You live for others for yourself. I hope this gives you a mindset. You can read it, but it's three parables connected, and they all are talking about an absent Lord. God bless every one of you. If you need anything, let me know.